Today is exciting because we're going to continue the interview with Adam Field, an evangelist with Co-Mission. I'm telling you, powerful things are happening because he loves Jesus and he wants everybody to know about him. Let's go there now.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So I want to say, so here you are, you know, in this inner city, drive-by shootings are taking place. You're sitting on massive felony drugs, you know, in this place, and you find out afterwards, and the feds come in and arrest that first church gathering there.
Yeah.
My first church gathering, everybody got arrested. No.
Yeah.
But then when all these young people are getting saved, because the devil's always after the young people.
Yeah.
I mean, he's after all, but he tries to get people when they're young and to bring them in these gangs led by principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness.
So. Yeah.
You know, Ephesians 6:12. So they're actually ruling in these regions and these cities, and they do that through people.
That's right.
So when you started winning people to Jesus, you're bringing them out of the control of Lucifer and the principalities and the gang leaders unto the new leader, which is Jesus Christ. So they were losing their
gripping on the community. Yeah.
So, and they knew that.
Especially the OGs, they're called old gangsters. They're the guys who have done time. You know, I'm more concerned about the junior high age in these neighborhoods than I am about the adults, because they use the junior high age group because they still have something to prove, and they still are trying to put some stripes on them.
Right.
So they use them to kind of peddle their drugs and even influence, and even they use them to murder, because the sentences on a juvenile is much lighter than it is on an adult.
You're talking about 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade.
That's right.
That's young.
Yeah. I've done funerals for young men that were in that age group. You know, one young man was responding at the altar call, and you know, he gave his heart publicly to Jesus. He even removed his flag and he put it down on the ground in front of the community. And some time went by, just a few days, and the gang actually went into the house and shot this young man in his family home. And that was a very hard funeral that I actually was to officiate. And it was at that funeral I preached the gospel with everything that I've got. And we had a lot of guys in the community that were just really unhappy about it. And one guy pulled out a gun one time and said, you know, we don't want you guys in this neighborhood, and we're serious about it. And in that moment, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I looked at this guy and said, get that gun out of your hand or God will strike you dead. This is not a gang community. This is the church's community. And we've taken this community over. Yeah. It doesn't belong to the Bloods. It doesn't belong to the Crips.
Wow.
It doesn't belong to the GDs.
Right.
Our urban communities don't belong to any gang.
Right.
And Jesus' gang, if you could call it that, has all authority in heaven and on earth within her. I mean, within the Bride of Christ, we carry more authority than any gang member could ever. And when you stare down the enemy, when you stare down even the possessed,
he's like pointing this gun at you, get out of here.
Yeah, when you stare it down, mm-hmm. and you look at him right in the eyes, and the Holy Spirit gives you unction and boldness, they quiver. Mm. They quiver every single time. They don't know how to take a white guy in their community telling them what they need to be doing when it comes to the gospel. They just don't know, because white guys don't go there. And typically white guys are judgmental, harsh, looking down on them.
So these weren't white guys in the gangs?
No. Okay. These are, so, you know, they don't know how to take that. But when they know that you care for them, you care for them. When someone knows that you care for them, they care about what you have to say.
Right.
You know, they know you love them.
Yeah.
They know you're not just being judgmental and harsh. They know you've got their best interest
at heart.
You're
bringing the love of God.
You're bringing the love of God, but sometimes you got to stare them down.
Right.
You got to look at them square in the eyes, and you can't move.
Right.
You got to be filled with confidence and boldness to believe what we have. And this guy, he turned around and he walked away. He walked away, and then sometime later,
he put the gun up.
He put the gun up, and sometime later, he actually hung himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he was like the big leader.
He was.
Okay, wow.
It was a very, very hard time, but it also showed that, it also showed the community, don't play around with God.
Right.
Don't fear a man that not only has the power to take your life, but fear God, who not only has the power to take your life, but also throw you into hell.
Yeah.
You know, God needs to be feared more than anyone else. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And what that means is we need to take our God seriously.
Right.
God will be taken seriously. In a generation where they mock his name in Hollywood, they use his name in vain, you never hear them go, for Allah's sake or for Buddha's sake. They never mock anyone else's God, but they do mock ours.
Yes.
And our God will only be mocked for a certain length of time. Mm. Scripture says, don't trample on the blood of Jesus. Mm. Scripture says, don't take the grace of God in vain. When they mocked Elijah because of his bald-headedness, and we've got a lot mocking the church right now. We got Ned Flanders representing us, and that's no representation of us, but they're mocking us on The Simpsons.
Right.
They're mocking us every way they can. They make us so base and silly and foolish. But when God turns up, he will not be mocked. Mm. Our God will not be mocked, and he will be feared, and he will be respected. Willingly or unwillingly, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
And we have that authority inside of us, a boldness in us to take over an entire community and say, this is now taken back for the Church of Jesus Christ, and we will not be moved. Come hell or high water, we will not be moved. And we want to go to Chicago, we want to go to Camden, New Jersey, we want to go to St. Louis and to Ferguson and to Baltimore and to where it's needed and to stand in the middle of it all and say, there will be representation for Jesus Christ in this generation. Yeah. There will be representation for the authority of Scripture. This is for the young people that are listening on. Mm-hmm. When you are a believer in Jesus, you receive more power than any Marvel comic you could ever read.
Oh, yeah.
Or you receive more power than anything you could watch in the movie theater of whatever superhero you're into. The Holy Spirit is in us. This is real. Mm. Harry Potter stuff is real for them.
Right.
And the demonic is a real world. And people don't play around with that stuff. It's real.
Right.
You put your hand into that world, it will bite you.
Dark real,
It's real, it's dark real. There's a spiritual wickedness right now covering the earth.
Yeah.
And it's after our faith.
Darkness.
Because when we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that wickedness must flee.
Right.
When we submit to God, we can resist the devil, and the devil must flee. So we got to stand in the authority that we've been given and take back what the enemy has taken from our streets.
Listen, we're going to be right back after this break. We're going to come right back to the interview with Adam. It's just so encouraging. You're going to be so inspired. Listen, comment below. Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts about what's being shared on the program today with Adam, with Commission, what we're talking about, the particular topic? We love hearing from you. Comment below. We'll see you after the break.
We'll be right back.
It seems to me that he is the one setting the stage right now. You know, a lot of people think that the president is in charge. No, he's not. A lot of people think that Congress is calling the shots. No, they're not. Or the Supreme Court, or Hollywood, or the EU, or Putin, or ISIS. No, ladies and gentlemen, none of them are in charge. Each and every one of them are simply playing their role because he is over all. He's sovereign over all. He's the one who has everything in control. They are just unwittingly serving his purpose, because even when we have someone like Pharaoh who oppresses God's people, he brings them into bondage. The reason he did that was because Stephen told us later in Acts chapter 7 that the reason this treacherous king did this to our people is because the time was drawing near for the promise that God had sworn to Abraham to come to pass. That's why.
You know, there will be a time in your life when someone, something, some event might hurt you so bad that all you want to do in that moment is get back, get even, and take whatever you can from them. I can promise you this, guys. It's never about how much you can take. It's about how much you can give. Forgive them. That's why I forgave that guy for punching me in the street for no reason. That's why I forgave my mother for leaving me when I was a few months old. That's why I forgave my father for hurting me when I was growing up. That's why my brother forgave me for hurting his feelings. If you want real power, learn to forgive.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So I like what you're going in the cities. You know, you're talking about taking back the gates of the city.
Amen.
Because when Peter answered the question, who do you say I am? He says, thou art the son of, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood do not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. But the gates
of hell will not
be. Which means that if hell's going on in your city, then you can charge the gates of hell with Christ and him crucified.
Yeah.
That power will defeat the gates of hell in your city. And that's a government of God being established, right?
Amen.
Talk about just charging the gates.
We've got to charge the gates. You know, when Jesus said that, he was prophesying to what he was going to accomplish at the cross. In Ephesians and Colossians, it teaches us that when Christ made a public spectacle of the enemy, when he went to the cross, he disarmed principalities and powers. Mm. Every weapon formed against the church has been broken by the authority of Jesus' blood. The blood of Jesus is against Satan. Mm. The blood of Jesus is against the powers of darkness. The blood of Jesus is against the hordes of hell. And when we believe on Jesus, we are not dealing with an offensive enemy. Mm. We're dealing with a defensive enemy. Gates are defensive. They're not offensive. No one builds a gate to be offensive. They build gates to be defensive.
Right.
And he has gates around our cities. He's got gates around our communities. Mm. He's got gates around those that we're called to reach. Right. It could be your hospital. It could be your place of employment. Mm. It could be the individuals that you're called. And these gates can be stormed, but they can't be stormed by affection. They can't be stormed by an emotion. They can't be stormed by works are benevolence. Mm-hmm. The gates of hell can only be stormed by the foolishness of the preaching of the cross of Christ. When the gospel is preached, the gates of hell can't prevail against it.
Right.
The authority is not in what we do, it's in the message we preach. And that's where
our faith.
And our faith in that message. Yes, we got to believe in that. We got to believe in that to be true. And when we do, the power of the Holy Spirit flows through us. Because, friends, we've not been left here to be reservoirs of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When we have the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus said to Nicodemus, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
Right.
So what Jesus does in us is he breaks the dam and lets the Holy Spirit flow through us.
Right.
So wherever we go, we have the power of God flowing through us, breaking the bondages of hell, breaking the bondages of sin, and seeing the gates of hell trashed and torn down. And seeing the neck of our enemies cut off and seeing the chariots of our enemies get stuck in the mud. And God is training his church right now, and he's getting our fingers to fight and our hands to war.
Yeah.
We are a military presence that don't fight with physical weapons.
But a
our
spiritual
weapon
war.
Is a spiritual war, and it's the message of the gospel. You see, friends, it's the message of the gospel. It's not what we do. It's not our acts. It's the message that, and that's what baffles the world.
Right.
Even humanists, they look at it and go, the message can't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
The evangelical church today is not really evangelizing with a message. They're evangelizing with deeds and acts.
Right.
And Jesus never said, preach the gospel and only use words when necessary.
Right.
No, he said, go and preach the gospel because the answer is in the message. If we don't preach the message, then we're emphasizing to our audience our works more than his work. And we get the people dependent on us more than dependent on Jesus.
Which is not good. So the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ, the holy blood of God that flowed through Emmanuel's veins.
Yeah.
And so the Lord speaks to me in dreams and visions. And this particular dream he gave me just a little while ago was a man of God was going to be on his back going through some situations, you know, recovery and different things. But as that was going to happen, the enemy was going to come in, and you know, spiritual, Ephesians 6:12 says, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, powers, and principalities. You know, and that in this dream, I saw literally coming out of the wall, this person started coming out, and then it, halfway out of the wall, then it turned into another man. Then it started walking a great distance across a big room towards this man that was on his back, and it was flattering. It was going like, oh, I really love the way you preach. I like what's going on, all this kind of stuff. But once it got halfway, it just goes, whoo! I mean, just like that. It was like, it just, I can't say, it just whoosh right on top of that guy. And literally, this minister was down, it was beating like a like an MMA fighter, beating. And I went, the blood of Jesus is against you. And
bang.
The blood of Jesus threw that man on the ground in this dream.
Yeah.
And he was still scarring, wanting to get back up again. And I kept on, the blood of Jesus is against you.
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to be right back after this break. We're going to come right back to the interview with Adam. It's just so encouraging. You're going to be so inspired. Listen, comment below. Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts about what's being shared on the program today by with Adam, with Commission, what we're talking about, the particular topic? We love hearing from you. Comment below. We'll see you after the break.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
$100 million
children around the world
have received
one shoebox
filled with hope,
love, and prayers.
They have heard about
Jesus Christ,
who died for
their sins,
my sins,
your sins.
It's simple.
Anyone can help.
There is power
in strength,
in numbers, in a simple gift.
From you
to me,
Operation Christmas Child
gave me hope,
made me feel
love,
joy,
and I found Jesus.
Multumesc.
Katay Rahmat.
Rahmet.
Spasiba.
Murakoze.
Faleminderit.
Gracias.
Thank you.
For giving.
For praying.
For loving.
And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll sealed with seven seals. And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. Behold, a white horse. He opened the second seal. A horse, fiery red, went out. And a third seal, a black horse. And when he opened the fourth seal, behold, a pale horse, and he who sits on it is named Death. Thank you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Think about this. The blood of Jesus took this demonic thing that was coming against this man of God, threw that demon to the ground,
yeah,
and held him at bay. But for some reason, we're preaching about some organization and some social justice, and we're forgetting about the power and the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. Just this last few weeks, I haven't talked about this publicly just yet, but over the last few weeks, I've been doing a study on the blood. And in Leviticus 17:11, it talks about how life is in the blood. If we were to drain our human bodies of all of its blood, we would just be a sack of bones and organs.
Right.
Life's not in our heart. Life's not in our brain. Life's not in any of our organs. Life is in the blood.
Abel's blood still calls out to this day, right?
Yeah. And when Jesus shed his blood, he shed his blood to give us life. Cleansing, renewing, powerful life. And when we preach the blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, given to all of us for life and abundance of life.
Right.
The life he's called us to is so abundant, it's so great. It's a river that flows out of us and can change communities. That's why it's the foolishness of the gospel. Billy Graham had it right. He preached Christ and him crucified.
Right.
David Wilkerson, many others. Our generation, the millennials, need a David Wilkerson, a Billy Graham. We need preachers. And I'm telling you, we need preachers that can preach the blood of Jesus again. Wow. That can preach it with
the
power.
The power is in the blood.
In the blood. Christ and him crucified.
Satan has to listen.
Yeah.
And so after, when I had that encounter with God, I began to pray the blood of Jesus over me, pray the blood of Jesus over people in our ministry, the things that we're doing, and in our church, praying over their family, their marriages. I mean, literally just praying the blood over this person, praying the blood over that person. And then so one of their sons who have been caught up into a life of darkness and drugs and just out there in darkness, all of a sudden, you know, out of the middle of nowhere, this whole demonic life just crescendos. And he begins to see just the manifestations of what he'd been following. And he's literally having this dark conversations and just everything. He began to see what he'd been tapping into for so long. And he ran for his life trying to find, because he's an older man now, he was trying to find, he wanted to go back to his father's house where he didn't want anything. So he goes, and his sister had abided with the Lord and left her Bible in the front porch.
Wow.
And so it happened to be out there. So when he comes that night, he comes in early in the morning hours and doesn't wake anybody. He grabs that Bible and he sleeps with it on the front porch.
Wow.
So in the morning, they open the door, they find, this is my son on the front porch. And so he invites his sons in, starts talking. He starts telling him what's going on. You know, I've been in dark places. I've been against God. You don't want to, I want to get right with God. And he gives his life to the Lord at that one moment.
Wow.
And he says, you know why I came here? And his dad says, why? He says, because I knew the blood was here.
Wow.
I knew the blood was here.
Yes. Yeah.
When all the hell was coming against him, and he's literally talking about just deep, dark, demonic things crushing in on him, because he had given his life over to drugs and all this kind of stuff. And his only hope, he knew. I mean, even Satan knows better than the church. It's like the blood, he came right where the blood was applied.
Yeah.
And he got freedom. He was able to get free because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The power is in the blood.
The power is in
We're
the blood.
We're praying about everything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it's the blood of God, right?
Yeah, the blood of Jesus. David said in Psalm 119, it is good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn to depend on the Lord. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus said in some of his last teachings was, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, Jesus said, this is the new covenant of my blood that was spilled for you. Affliction. You know, for those that are in affliction, I've been through my own series of afflictions in my physical health, in my personal health, and in my family, and many are going through afflictions right now. And we have a presentation of the gospel that's affliction free, you know, 5 steps to live affliction free, 3 ways to get out of your furnace today, you know, how to live furnace free for the rest of your life.
Right.
And the problem with that is, I hope that's true for the person that's preaching it, but for me, it hasn't been that
it's
way.
It's not true.
And maybe for you, it hasn't been that way. Maybe
in this
you've
life,
experienced.
You will have storms.
You will have storms. And so I want to encourage you that when you say the blood of Jesus, when you call on the merit of the blood of Jesus, what the blood accomplished, what it stands for, what it symbolizes, when you say, oh, the blood, I need the blood of Jesus, and everything that means for me, all of the promises that were wrapped up in that covenant of blood, I want that. In that moment, what we're getting is the life-giving power, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us. Mm. See, the Holy Spirit comforts like no woman, like no man, like no one else. You know, for anyone that's battling with same-sex attractions, here's the thing, friends, is that there is no woman that can do for your soul what Jesus can do for your soul. Mm. There's no man that can do for your soul what Jesus can do for your soul. There's a heavenly man that can satisfy the soul cry of your heart. When you call on the name of Jesus, you truly can be saved. Right. And this is a message that's all-encompassing. Right. This reaches homosexual, heterosexual. Mm-hmm. It levels the playing ground of sin. Sin is sin in the sight of God. Right. So when we come to God and we say, oh, the blood of Jesus, I need your cleansing, I need your washing, I need your renewing, what happens with that is the Holy Spirit comforts like nothing else.
Right.
And it convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit will make the crooked man straight, the bent man straight, the sinful man righteous. Right. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and makes us who we were meant to be in the garden.
Right.
He restores us back into that relationship that we had with God and also with one another.
And so without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins.
That's right.
So when this religious thing being the narrative over the world today, where they're removing the blood from the doctrine, from what's being taught, they're removing the ability to be forgiven for your sins.
Yeah, even in Genesis 1 or 2, remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God stepped in and they hid and then they came out? Yeah. The first thing that God did was take an animal and slay it and spill its blood and clothed Adam and Eve. But we see the first time blood being spilled because life is in the blood.
Yeah.
Just like what you said.
Yeah, it's in the blood.
Just like what you just said. It's powerful.
Hey, I hate to interrupt this interview, but guess what? We're going to continue the interview with Adam Fields tomorrow. Make sure you join us on our next program. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray right now, inspiration, encouragement over those that are watching and listening right now, Father God, that you would touch them right now in a special way, Father God. Stir their hearts, God. What's being shared in this program by your Spirit. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.